I'd like to welcome you to this evening's review panel and to what promises to be an enlightening critical discussion on the current Whitney Biennial. I'm Bruce Weber, Senior Curator at the National Academy Museum. Before we begin, I want to inform you of some upcoming special programs at the museum and to thank DCA and NISCA for their continued support of the review panel. Coming up on Wednesday, April 11th at 2 p.m. is a gallery talk by Marshall Price, Curator of Modern and Contemporary Art, on the current National Academy Annual, which I hope you've all had the opportunity to see. The exhibition closes on April 29th. On Wednesday, April 18th at 6:30, Jed Pearl, art critic for the New Republic, will be delivering the lecture, Becoming Calder, Shaping the Man Who Invented the Mobile. Calder was born into a family of artists, and Mr. Pearl will explore how Calder's avant-garde vision was shaped by his parents' progressive ideas. Mr. Pearl is currently working on a full-length biography of Alexander Calder. The next review panel will be on Friday, April 27th at 6:30, and feature Lance Esplund, Maddie Finney, and Barry Schwabsky, in addition to our moderator and organizer, David Cohen, editor and publisher of artcritical.com. David?
Thank you very much, Bruce, and thank you to everybody at the National Academy for hosting this series. We recently reached a milestone. I believe this is the 52nd ever review panel. So we are now an institution within a venerable institution. So that is a flattering place to be. But on the other hand, there's always the temptation to rest on one's laurels. But I don't think that's going to happen this evening. My guests are three powerhouse critics who are going to keep me on my toes. I'm going to introduce them to you when you can see their faces, which is when we are all up there on the review panel. I'm here at the podium, which may strike regulars as an anomaly. This is the spot reserved for national academicians and their servants. But I am here for a practical reason. This is the third review panel devoted to the Whitney Biennial, which is beginning to show our age. The Whitney, of course, presents a logistical challenge to a program that's calibrated to focus upon four solo exhibitions in contemporary art galleries. Here we have, albeit an installment of the Whitney that's characterized and noted by critics for its leanness, nonetheless a sprawling show, somewhat in the tradition of the Salon of and the Academies of the 18th and 19th century, somewhat indeed in the tradition, a modern twist, it could be argued, on the very kind of exhibition presented upstairs right at the moment, or at the American Academy, further uptown and across the island with their annual invitational. With a strenuous and probably unfulfillable ambition of not providing personal commentary or inflection, I'm going to nonetheless, if we could dim the lights, take us through as quickly as possible a little bit of an overview of some of the artists featured in the 2012 Whitney Biennial. The Biennial, as I'm sure many of us know, is dedicated to Mike Kelly, Los Angeles-based artist who took his life earlier this year. This is a film called Going East on Michigan Avenue from Westland to downtown Detroit, which will be screened in May, the middle of May, at the Biennial. And perhaps somewhat in the tradition of Kelly and the performative aspect of his work, there is there are quite a number of individual artists presenting performances as part of their work, at the biennial. Dawn Casper, for instance, is actually in residence throughout the exhibition. This could be something, if I let it, of 2012, from what she calls a series of nomadic studio practice experiments. Members of the public are invited to come in to her live-work space within the biennial and leaf through her record collection and fumble with her stuff. There we are. There's already some personal commentary and inflection. Couldn't keep it out. You know, if you get a giggle, that you've failed in your task to be neutral. Wu Chang, one of the few artists to be found on the top floor in permanent installation, with a room with a show called Green Room, also in the Kelly tradition, and the collective of Giselle Vienne, Dennis Cooper, Stephen O'Malley, and Peter Rayberg, testing the limits of the Whitney's remit to only include American artists, a collective with a piece called Last Spring, a prequel. These small drawings and are behind this mannequin that gyrates slightly before the audience. And actually, the inclusion of performance actually extends in this installment of the biennial to the inclusion of a number of actual performances that are ticketed events for which you need to reserve a spot, and makes the what's usually very much of a static exhibition into more of a festival, which is something the panel will probably want to investigate. The British choreographer Michael Clark has been seen, can be seen this week. And in fact, all your panelists did get along yesterday to see a performance together. And Sarah Mitchelson was also seen last week in a piece called Devotion Study, the American Dancer, a piece that takes its title from a quote from Georges Balanchine on the different quality and spirit of the American dancer compared to the European. But there are quote-unquote traditional installations. The first piece that would greet one if you choose to start on the first floor, and a panel in fact tells visitors that they're under no obligation to start or finish anywhere. The curators give viewers the permission to start where they like, which is very liberal, of course. And here is For Hire 2012 by Oscar Tuazon, which is in what's usually the project room at the biennial. Not at the biennial, at the Whitney, that small space on just off the lobby. Or if the work of Kai Althoff can be seen, you get off at one of the floors, the main floors, and his is the work there that's hanging from those screens. This is a poster for a play in which he and others appear. Lutz Becker's work on the right there, and in an installation that includes others, Moira Davey, this collection of chromogenic prints and text. And Nicole Eisenman with a large, sprawling installation of salon-hung portraits, of which these are some examples in monotype. And also Life Drawing, a piece that's installed on the stairs down to the dining facilities at the museum. Vincent Fecteau, the review panel has strict policies, which of course get broken as soon as we do something like the Whitney Biennial. One of our strict policies is we never talk about the same artist twice, or rather we never review an artist's show twice. And by coincidence, when Bill Berkson was last here on the review panel, his fellow San Franciscan Fecteau was one of the artists we looked at. But how can we not look at him again? There he is in the biennial. Latoya Ruby Frazier, the photographer, photo artist. A series from her campaign for Braddock Hospital Save Our Community Hospital series, and prints from the Home Body series, which four were installed. Richard Hawkins, represented both by paintings such as these and a series of collages that incorporate photographic reproductions of other works of art, which you can just about spy in this installation shot. Matt Hoyt, whose sculptural pieces in a variety of media, including clay, fiberglass, plaster, various putties, resin, pastel, glue, plastic and oil, synthetic polymer, and tempera paints, was seen. And the Boston-based abstract painter Anthony Mazzullo, but again, I'm providing commentary. Perhaps my three panelists will say he is not abstract, so I should really just shut up and show the slides. You just realize when you set out to say to be neutral, you realize how, well, you can make an art piece out of that, how well-nigh impossible neutrality actually is as soon as you put three words in one sentence. Tom Thayer, also on the top of the third floor. Clearly what we're doing here is sampling what is already a lean show and yet giving ourselves, nonetheless, five times more artists than we would usually talk about at the review panel. Yuta Kota, The Seasons, is an installation piece. These four paintings forming an installation. Just no point in disguising or how and why these are the artists that I happen to have images for. As is the case when we usually select shows, the panelists, on the basis, this was all decided really before we had a chance to see the show, probably, but the panelists, following instinct and research, nominating artists they thought would be likely candidates for interesting comments on themselves. Sorry?
I saw it before I made my list.
You, okay, good, excellent, good for you. And so Karen Wilkin just corrected me on a point there that she indeed did see the biennial before she submitted her list. But of course, from San Francisco, that was a challenge for Mr. Bergson, not a challenge for Mr. Heinrich, who's already in fact reviewed the biennial. So, but okay, we the panelists say, okay, these are some artists who we might want to talk about. But it's not a question of saying, Karen is now going to give you her four favorites or something. It's just a question of creating a pool, and we get a pool through the process of, well, pooling. So, yes, but here is an instance where a painter's works are actually presented as an installation, and this is actually a characteristic of this year's biennial, that the work of others being harnessed or the work presented in a way where the sum is greater than the individual parts, perhaps where the installation, as in the case of The Seasons there by the artist Yuta Kota. In the case of Forrest Bess, of course, this is, as it were, a piece by Robert Gober, who has curated a room within the biennial of this possibly quote-unquote outsider artist, although he did participate, as we can discuss, in the modernist presentation, Forrest Bess. And Nick Mouse, literally enlisting others, living and dead, to be in his piece, Concern, Crush, Desire, from 2011. So his piece consists of the doors that enter into a particular space within the space of the biennial, the cotton applique on velvet and other luxurious materials that form a little kind of entrance lobby to his space, but then a work borrowed from the collection of the Whitney, the Marston Hartley that you see hanging there on the left. Here's a detail of his installation, or works of various photographers like Winogrand, Gary Winogrand, and Ellsworth Kelly, and other artists incorporated into his installation. And in the similar spirit, Werner Herzog, who brings the 19th century etcher Segers into play. Sorry? Early 20th century, 18th century, 17th century, 16th, 15th. Any advances on?
Do I hear 12?
Yes, the 17th century Dutch master etcher, who your learned and informed review panel, of course, know intimately, as do you, incorporated into Herzog's four-channel digital projection. And Herzog, you know, famous cineast, here in his capacity, also either in his capacity or enlisted to be a visual artist. As with the dance programming, a whole program of films that are to be seen at in a sort of cinematic presentation. Again, reinforcing this idea of the biennial becoming as much a festival as an exhibition. Jerome Heiler's work can be seen at some point, Words of Mercury. This is a still. Nathaniel Dorsky could be seen a couple of weeks ago, but not if, like me, you were a minute late. Very strict conditions about lighting for this 16mm, this program of three 16mm films of Dorsky that we have at our disposal to discuss, and George Kuchar, who's coming up, like Mike Kelly, is not really somebody we can necessarily delve into because he is yet to be seen. Great. So another thing that's going to be unusual about this evening's, it feels like the Jewish Passover. Why is this review panel different from all other review panels? Because whereas we ordinarily stifle your hunger for imagery and your demand to actually see, as and when we're discussing it, specific works, this evening that's something that's really hard to repress. So my capable assistants will be on hand to summon those images as and when they're required. Great. So at this point, I'd ask my panelists to join me on the stage.